Okay, we have one question for Ask Catherine. What does Dr. Tibet think about desalination plants? Is there a good solution for where all that salt goes? Good question. I did not ask him. This came in afterwards, and I will see if I can get him to do so. I started to ask about fracking, but I'm not sure what he can say other than it's really bad for the nearby water system. But if he wants to tackle it, let's hear it. Good question. I continue to look for people to talk about the pros and cons of fracking. It's a much more complex subject than many people know, an important one because it's happening all around the country. And so good suggestion, and I will look for that. Okay, on the interview, we pre-recorded Dr. Tibet on Wednesday, and I'm going to run the interview at the very end after I finish all my comments, including let's go to the movie. So we're gonna start the interview at the end, and then I won't come back on afterwards. And the reason I wanted to do it is because the quality of the interview is such. Dr. Tibet is Norwegian. He was coming in from the UK, and the quality was not what I had hoped to get. And so it's difficult to listen to. Now, if you're interested in the topic, it's very much worth listening to. If you can listen on headphones, it will make it much easier to hear and understand. But what I wanted to do now was talk a little bit about why I wanted Dr. Tibet and some of his key points, so that if you do have trouble listening and you don't bear with it, you will at least get the meat of the conversation. Dr. Tibet used an expression early on in the interview. He called it water blindness. And what water blindness means is it's a term he used to describe the fact that water, for so many of us, is such a ubiquitous resource that we take for granted, that we literally don't begin to understand the power and the impact that water has. If you read his books and watch documentaries that he's done, what you begin to realize is the incredible importance and power of water in terms of how it works through our economy and through the geopolitics of how we govern our resources. So water provides energy, water provides transportation, water provides drinking water, water provides the sustenance that goes to the land to give us food and all the agriculture, and on and on and on. In one of his books that I read, there's wonderful descriptions of how water is used in warfare. And, you know, it's quite extraordinary. So, but one of the things you get as you read his body of work is that when the water changes, when we get shortages across the system, or the nature of how water is managed, or the course of the water shifts, it changes everything. It impacts thousands and thousands of people and functions throughout an entire ecosystem. And one of the reasons I wanted to have Dr. Tibet is for many years now, I've been looking for a very serious scholar who is looking at the impact of water and its role throughout the financial and environmental ecosystem, and is looking at it all over the world. And to find a serious scholar, you know, I'd sort of thought that I'd almost given up, because you're talking about quite an extraordinary scholarly effort to look at something like this. And sure enough, Dr. Tibet has done it. And so it's an extraordinary body of work. And I would much rather introduce you to him than get the easiest to listen to interview. And so in that sense, let me apologize for the quality, but let me tell you that it's worth the effort to try and struggle and listen. If you don't want to, he has two documentaries that are both available on Nordic TV. We link to them on the blog post. They're free on the internet. One is called The History of Water, and one is called The Future of Water, and I recommend them both to you. He also has an enormous number of books you can find descriptions at his website, which we also link. We link to at the blog post. In my discussion with him, there's several other points I wanted to make to you. One is we talk about the extent to which there are changes in global water patterns and how much of an influence that is having on our society going forward, including because our population continues to grow. A second thing we talked about that is very important is if you look at the kind of investment that needs to be made in water systems, one of the things driving water policy around the world is that we are now needing to amass bigger and bigger amounts of capital to deal with water. And as that happens, it is part of what is forcing both centralization and corporatization, as you will. We talked about, in the interview, about the role of water in China and India. It's always amazing to me as an investment advisor to see large amounts of capital go into a place like China or into a place like India and know that if they don't get the water infrastructure right, then all of that capital can be destroyed or have very poor returns. And yet, we often don't see a mechanism for those financial interests to have the kind of support and influence to make sure the infrastructure is investment happens and is working right. And one of the things we talked about, and he talks about in his books, is how that happens around the world, what works, what doesn't. One of the things he and the other scholars that he has written with point out is if you look at the different patterns of how societies both cooperate and compete over water issues, one of the things you find is that it is a very complex issue because it is the sort of what happens is driven much more by the cultures in that situation than by anything necessarily related to the organization and the patterns of the water. But you see, as he takes you through different historical examples of what happens, how cooperation around water can bring fantastic economic success, and the failure or inability to cooperate and address the water issues can be an absolute disaster for a society. And so we're coming, you know, in this world of water blindness, we need to wake up and sort of come clean about our relationship with water. And if we can do that, it can have a very positive and a very positive impact on our lives and the world and the world for the next generation. So if there's one thing I want you to get from this interview, it is to think about the importance of water, to realize that you and I, or most of us on this call, are probably coming out of a phase of water blindness, taking water for granted. And more we're going into a world where we can't. And so it's very, very important, whether thinking about the quality of the water for your life in your household or your municipality or your community or for the wider world around you, start to think about, okay, water's going to become more important. What does it mean?